Go right here. So we're in our series called You Asked For It, and we're in James chapter 2. So you're going to have to listen fast. I've got a lot to give you tonight. But the questions have been awesome, and I hope they've been a blessing to you. James chapter number 2 and verse number 14. The Bible reads, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." This is going to make sense in a second. There's been a series of questions come through, and I have grouped three of them together. The first one was two Sunday nights ago. If we all have the Bible, why do so many people fall for false religion and false teaching? And I taught on how to spot a false teacher. Typically, how is it people fall for it? They're either A, they're not truly born again, B, they're carnal, they are saved, but they're not filled with the Spirit, or they're very immature, or number three, they're lazy and haven't studied. But for whatever reason, you need to check out, you need to be able to spot a false teacher by their manner. You know, what are they doing? What are they asking you to do? Are they wanting you to live a holy life? Are they wanting you to follow the Bible? Or are they leading you to compromise the Bible? You'll know them by their message. What is salvation to them? Is it by works? Is it grace through faith plus works? Is it speaking in tongues plus faith? What is it? You'll also know it by the way they handle the Messiah. Is Jesus divine? Is he God the Son? Is he 100% man and 100% God? This is how you spot false teachers. Number two, the question came out, how can I avoid falling into bad doctrine? Well, that was 2 Timothy 2:15 last Sunday night. Study to show thyself approved. You've got to dig deeper than just a surface cursory reading of the scripture. And then it talked about rightly dividing, meaning checking out context, doing word studies, getting a little deeper, and definitely following the context. Well, how do I study the Bible? That was last Sunday night. Step one, pray. Say, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to me. Then you open the Bible and you start to read 1 Timothy 4:13. Then you dig deeper. You start to dissect verses and define words you don't understand. Check out the who, what, when, where, why, how of each one of those verses. And then say, you know, pay attention to the pronouns too, by the way. Because sometimes they're talking about God the Father. Sometimes they're talking about God the Son. Sometimes they're talking about the reader. Or sometimes you've got to pay attention, slow down, and define words you don't understand. And then meditate on that word. When you're reading, when you say, Lord, speak to me, I'm listening, and you read the Bible, and something flags you down. You know what I'm saying? Something goes bold. Something catches your eye. You need to stop. The Lord, you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, the Holy Spirit just kind of flagged you in like they do on the aircraft when they land those planes. Stop right here. Huh? Look at this. Meditate on that verse and then do it. That's another key. Psalm 119, verse 67. You know, I wasn't until I was afflicted. You know, I went astray until I was afflicted. Let me tell you something. Now I take heed to your word. Sometimes by doing the word of God, you can only learn what it's trying to teach you by doing it. So tonight, we're going to finish up this three-peat with the third question. How do we know if we're living out Christ's gospel in a way God intended? How do I live out the gospel the way God intended? Well, the shorter answer is you have to apply the Bible to your daily life. This evening, my son and I were having a conversation with Brother Ronnie, and Ben brought up the fact that the Bible's a living Bible, and the fact that it's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, is what he meant, Hebrews chapter 4. It's alive. That means it's relevant to you today. and every day. You've got to apply it and live it. Yeah. So inward faith should bear outward fruit. That's what it means. Now, key verse is James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, that means it's of no, it is dead. That means it's of no effect if it's not accompanied by works. Now, here's the problem. The works-based salvation guy says, if you love God, you'll do this. And you'll prove to God that you love him. No, no, no. The Bible teaches because you realize you are loved by God, you have been saved, and nobody loves you like he does, that overwhelming love from God motivates you to serve. See, it's a different motivation. Jim Bowling once said, God is too big to move in and not rearrange the furniture. I love that. That is a fabulous quote from our deacon. A lot of people say, well, faith is a private thing. Listen, if you profess faith but openly live contrary to the Word of God, that's not true. That's not faith. Well, what's the big deal? I mean, really, you know, I'm a believer. What's the big deal? Listen, there's more in this Bible than just salvation. There is more God's going to hold you accountable to. I keep knocking that thing off. I apologize. There's more in this Bible than just how to get to heaven. Listen, they say, well, what's the big deal? I'm not hurting anyone. Yeah, but you're no spiritually good neither. So there's more to learn. I call it faux faith. Like faux leather, right? It looks like leather. It feels like leather, but it's missing the skin. No animal died, right? You know, there was a pig and a chicken were very, very appreciative of how the farmer took care of them. And they thought, how can we show the farmer our appreciation? And the chicken said to the pig, listen, why don't we do a breakfast in bed for the farmer? And the pig said, that sounds like a good idea. What'd you have in mind? He goes, bacon and eggs. And the pig said, you know, that's a small offering for you, but for me, it's a complete commitment. Right? It looks like faith, it sounds like faith, but you ain't got no skin in it. You never died to self. It looks like faith, it sounds like faith, but it doesn't have an outward effect. It sounds good, but there's no substance. In Philippians 2, it says we're to work out our salvation. It didn't say work for our salvation. It means that our salvation inside our heart should have an effect outwardly. It should become part of who we are. In verse 15 in Philippians 2, the Bible says when we do this, we will shine forth. We'll shine forth to the world that we're like lights. See, in 1 Samuel 16:7, God said to Samuel, look, don't look on people's countenance or the height of their stature, for I have refused them. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So, number one, it's great to know God looks at your heart. But when it comes to kingdom service, all people can see is your outside. What you say and don't say, what you do and what you don't do. You know, not doing the do's is every bit as bad as doing the no's and the don'ts. 2 Corinthians 6:1-10 talks about how we're his ambassadors and that the word of God, that we are on trial in the eyes of the lost world because the word of God and him and God himself is on trial. Jesus said they hated me before they hated you. And the truth is, your testimony is being watched by your coworkers because they're skeptical about the God you serve. We're to live a life of proving ourselves. This is in 1 Corinthians 6:4-10. It means proving out that faith is real by seeing it in our life choices. Proving the fact that God is real because they see our faith in action and our faith and our understanding of God shaping our life. How do I know I'm living the gospel? By applying and living Bible principle to our life. We are to bring the word of God into our daily lives in a practical way. Now look, there are commands and prohibitions in the Bible, and many of us have those memorized. Those are the do's and the don'ts, the thou shalt's and the thou shalt not's, and those are easy. Those are clear, plain, and straight, easy to understand. Sometimes hard to live, but easy to understand. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, it's before James in Hebrews 6. Verse What I'm about to talk to you tonight is what I would consider algebra Christianity. Not elementary math, but I'm going to talk to you about algebra. We're going to take it up a level. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. What are the doctrines of Christ? That he is divine? Y'all believe that? Say amen. Okay. That he died on a cross for your sins. Do you believe that? Say amen. That he rose again. That he was virgin born and thus sinless. Right? You believe all that, right? You believe he's coming back. Okay, let's take it up a level. Let us go on to perfection. That's talking about maturity. You say, well, I got all that under wraps. Fine, that's great. Praise the Lord. Now let's take this whole Christianity thing up a notch. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We start with the Bible principle of salvation in Jesus Christ, but that's not the end, that's the beginning. We must take the word and its principles and go forward and live them. So let's talk about this. It says here in Hebrews 6:1, it says the leaving the principles. Principles are a Bible truth that I must live by. A principle is a truth that can be seen in example by the Bible characters, the way they live, the choices they made, and the way God approved of them for those choices. They become principles, and through prayer and Bible study, the Holy Spirit will lead you to have a belief about how to apply that to your life. It's called a Bible principle. It's not a thou shalt or thou shalt not. It's not a command or a prohibition. It's by example. We read the book of Acts regularly, I do, because it is our operations manual for New Testament church. We are trying to pattern ourselves after the example and thus the way they lived Bible every day. Now, a principle is a Bible truth, whether by example or by God commending them for their choices and things, it's that I must live. Number two, a conviction is a personal belief that I have based on a Bible principle. Take your Bible, go to the book of Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14 and verse 5. A principle is a Bible truth, a truth that you've seen taught and lived out in the Bible by example and by commendation of God and encouragement by the apostles. A conviction is a personal belief based on that. Look at Romans 14, 5. Let every man, look at this now. This is talking about one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That word persuaded means it's a heart change about something. Everyone is different, and the Holy Spirit deals with people differently as individuals, and he will lead us to apply Bible principles to our lives and the lives of our family. Now, I need you to understand this. Your kids are not my kids. I have kids that have specific needs. You know what? Your kids have specific needs. For me to stand back and judge you and say, well, you're not raising your kid right. I mean, there are some clear, plain, and straight stuff in the Bible that if you don't do it, you're not raising your kid right. But if you decide the kids can have Pokemon and I decide they can't, that is a conviction based on what God is leading me to do or what God is leading you to do. It's none of my business. Do you know there is no thou shalt not Pokemon in the Bible? Just amen. Come on. When I was in Roswell, New Mexico, Brother Whitehead walked up to my kid holding a Power Ranger doll. Not a doll, an action figure, right, Brother Mike? They're not dolls. And goes, that's from the devil. Okay, what you did is just cross my authority. Now I got to steal it back. I got to take it back. Besides, my mother-in-law bought that for him. It wasn't me, for Pete's sake. You know what I'm saying? And anyway, we'll work all that out when she gets to heaven. Well, maybe she won't. Anyway, I just got to stop that line of thinking. But it's none of his business to cross my authority like that. And now I've just removed a voice for God out of his life because I had to take that back. Look, you may decide your kids don't need video games. That is your business. That's none of my business. I don't really have a say, and I shouldn't, and no pastor should. But you have a Bible conviction based on a Bible principle. And you know your kids better than I do. And I can tell you right now that when my oldest son was a baby, Pokemon was all the rage, and I couldn't get him to eat. He was so interested in that stuff, I had to take it out of the house. The rest of the kids could care less. Pokemon's not their jam. You know what I'm saying? Now that he's 28, if he wants to spend his money on Pokemon, I don't care. But at the time, I couldn't get the kid to do right because that's his head was just wrapped in it. Well, I had a Bible conviction about that. All right, a conviction is a personal belief based on a Bible principle. So we have a principle, which is a Bible truth I must live, a conviction that the Holy Spirit leads me to have about this, and thirdly, there's a standard. A standard is a flag or a marking in the sand, a line of a location of safety that the Holy Spirit leads you to put into your family that says, we're going to stay on this side of that line for the reason of safety. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 50, verse 2. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal it not. Plant a flag is what that's saying. Plant a flag for all to see. Plant your flag so that those that are following you will see it. A standard is a line that you instruct yourself and your family not to cross. It's a guideline. I set it up to help me live my conviction about a Bible principle. I don't know if I'm making sense or not. A standard is a flag that I put in my family and say, this is the line, this is the safety. See, boundaries are not evil. We kind of like guardrails, don't we? Right? We want to keep the oncoming traffic on that side of the median, don't we? When they cross the median, all kinds of chaos ensues, right? We like boundaries. Are boundaries bad? No, they're good. They're safe. They keep us safe. Fences are boundaries. Some fences, some boundaries keep out danger. Some boundaries keep you safe inside from the danger that's outside. And standards are lines that help you keep you from sin. So you have a Bible principle that you see taught in the Bible. And you're going to teach that in your life. God leads you to have a conviction about that. He persuades your heart. Hey, this is something y'all will put in your life. Okay, well, how? Well, I believe this is how it applies. Okay, well, then I'm going to put up a flag and say, as long as we stay on this side of the line, we're okay. So a principle is a Bible truth I must live by. You won't know what the principles are in the Bible if you don't study the Bible. If you're not in Bible preaching services like tonight and Sunday night and Sunday morning, you're going to have a hard time. A conviction is a personal belief based on that principle. And a standard is a guideline. So what's the big deal? Well, our faith ought to have an effect on our daily life. We're to bring the Word of God into our daily life. And as an adult, as I learn Bible principles through study, I have to apply them, and that's called a conviction. So let me give you one. The principle I like to call in the Bible called vision. Take your Bible, go to Lamentations 3:51. Lamentations is in the second half of the Bible. It's after the book of Jeremiah. It's easier to find Jeremiah than go to the last page of Jeremiah and find Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse number 51. Look what it says here in Lamentations 3:51. The Bible principle is called the principle of vision. What goes in my eyes sinks down into my heart and affects my heart. Look what Lamentations 3:51 says. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Now he's weeping because he's seeing the slain. But you know, David didn't get in trouble with Bathsheba till he saw her. I'm going to preach a message on Samson and the things he saw and the things that led him away from God's will to eventually lose his sight and his life. What goes in my eyes sinks down and becomes a part of my heart. So if I want to keep myself from sin, I have to guard what goes in my heart. Because the Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 11 and verse 18, that it's out of the heart the things come that defile a man. So what goes in your eyes and your ears sinks down into your heart and makes its way out your hands, your feet, and your mouth. Does that make sense? That is a Bible principle. So I want to stay away from sin, so I'm going to put up a flag. The standard is Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm going to guard the eye gate. I'm going to guard the eye gate. I'm shocked at how many, you know, you're watching. We have been just so frustrated. There's nothing out there to watch. We've gone to PureFlix now because there's nothing out there decent to watch. There's so many murders and adulteries and killings and shootings and stabbings and deceit. It's just like they can't write a story. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Well, how did they get there? They went through your eyes and your ears. You got to watch what goes in. I will set. So the standard is, I'm not going to look at that stuff. I'm not going to set no wicked thing before my eyes. The Bible principle called representation. I represent Christ in everything I say or do. Did you know that? Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You realize you're the only Bible some people will read. You're the only sermon some people will hear. And I need to behave in such a way that those around me see Christ in me and not my flesh. That's a conviction. The principle is, I represent Jesus wherever I go. Do you want to know why we are vilified out there? Because they've had plenty of bad examples. They've had people who've taken advantage of churches and stole from people and committed adultery and all that foolishness. They now have a movie out on what went on down there at Lynchburg with the Falwells. Is that insane? Why do you think they feel that way? But when you realize you personally, you, I'm talking to you as the individual, are the ambassador of Christ, you represent Christ everywhere you go, you create a contradiction in their heart. Because they see Christ for who he is, not for what Netflix says they are. So the standard is, I'm going to behave in such a way that it does. I'm not going to behave in a way that reflects badly on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I have to tell you right now that I had older brothers and sisters that got into trouble all the time. And I learned how not to get into trouble and still sin. That's true. But there were some times when I actually just said, no, I'm not doing that. Because if I get caught, it's going to shame my father. Y'all go ahead. I'd do that. I can think of three or four different times when my friends were running off to do something foolish. And I thought to myself, oh, sounds like fun. But if I get caught, it'll shame my daddy. And I went, you know what? Y'all go ahead. I got something else I got to do. You need to recognize that the Bible principle is that everybody judges God based on you. So what's the standard? I will behave myself in a way that it doesn't bring shame to my Heavenly Father in heaven. Why? Because it's not just about me. The other Bible principle called fellowship. God commands us to provoke one another to love and good works in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. So the conviction is that I'm not an island. That my life is not just about me. It's my responsibility to include others into my life so that I can encourage them to love and good works. That's the conviction. The Bible principle is I'm commanded to do this. The conviction is, I need to involve other people in my life so that I can. The standard is, I'm not going to miss church, Hebrews 10, 25. How do you not violate Hebrews 10, 24? 10, 25 tells us it's by not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You're here tonight, you're encouraging people. You don't realize it until you come and they don't. And then you're like, whoa, where's everybody at? See, you're encouraging people. There's a principle in the Bible called holiness. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. People have seemed to forgot this in America. 1 Peter chapter number 1, there is a Bible principle referring to personal holiness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. Because I belong to God, I must strive to live holy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Not holier than thou. Holier than myself was last year, or the year before, or the year before that. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That conversation is the old English word for your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the conviction is, I am to be consecrated to God. I cannot allow sin to rule my life, because every time I do, it drags God into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20 talks about how if you join yourself to a harlot, you bring the members of God into the life of a harlot. That is why we have we have church discipline. You shame the Lord. You bring the rest of us into your mess. Don't do this. Don't bring God into your sin. He sees what you see. He partakes of what you partake of. What a bunch of filth. Hey, preacher, boy, you're getting ugly. No, the Bible teaches we're supposed to be holy. Now, positionally, you're holy. You know the Lord is your Savior. Say amen. Amen. You are positionally holy before God in the throne. He sees you under the blood of Jesus Christ. All your past, present, and future sin is covered. You're sinless. But do you understand, as a loving father, we're not to drag him into the filth with us. I'm to be consecrated, set apart for holiness. So the standard that I set in my life is that I will not just read the Bible, I will memorize verses so I can meditate on them. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That memorized word, the word of God, put to memory in your heart so you can meditate on it, will keep you from sin. It's a simple little task. We have children do it all the time. But it is a lost art here in the adult world. The principle of light and darkness. As a Christian, I have nothing in common with this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is a very, very familiar portion of Scripture that talks about not being unequally yoked. We talk to teenagers about not dating lost people. I talk to business people about not partnering with lost people. It's kind of hard to do that in this capital. But 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be not equally yoked together, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" So that's the Bible teaching. The conviction is the world is not my friend. James 4:4, "Know ye not that fellowship with the world is enmity with God?" It makes you an enemy. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." So what's the principle? The principle is that light and darkness, I have nothing in common with this world. And I shouldn't be surprised, because I'm a child of light. Number two, conviction is the world's not my friend. God's my friend. So my standard is I will fight my flesh and desire to partake of, I will fight my flesh because it desires to have worldly things. I'll fight the urge to give in to sin. Romans 6:12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." So the standard is Romans 13:14. If you're taking notes, "I will put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." I'm not going to give the flesh an inch or the devil a beachhead to attack me in. That's the conviction and the standard. That's the flag I put up. I'm going to get up every day and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to give an inch to the flesh. How about the principle of the weaker brother? I'm not an island. My behavior influences others. If you get a chance to read the last chapter of the Gospel of John, Peter gets discouraged waiting for Jesus to come, so he decides to go back fishing. He takes four or five of the other apostles with him. They're all out of the will of God because Peter, for a moment, loses faith and God has to redirect him. So the principle of the weaker brother is found in Romans 14:7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Ephesians 4:25, "We are members one of another. What I do affects everybody, how I behave, my attitude." My conviction is that not everything I do builds other people up. So I'm willing to voluntarily restrict my liberty in Christ in order to minister more effectively to other people. 1 Corinthians 6:12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." I'm not going to let my appetites get out of control because it's going to affect other people. So I will uphold a high personal standard. That's the standard. I'm going to hold a high personal standard so I can minister to others and influence them for Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:13, Paul said, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." These are principles. In there, you did not see a thou shalt or a thou shalt not. But this is what Paul is teaching. In Matthew 12, we find the principle of replacement, that I must replace the wrong in my life with right.
I can't just take something out. I have to put something back. In Matthew 12, 43, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return to my house. That means I'll go back and possess that poor soul that doesn't know the Lord. I'll return unto my house whence I came out, and when he cometh, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So you have to replace bad with good. So my conviction is I cannot have victory over fleshly appetites through abstinence alone. Whatever my appetites this old flesh has, I can't just say no. So the standard is I must develop godly things by purposely feeding on them. I was having dinner with Miss or lunch with Miss Jean on Sunday and another visitor from our church. And she said, is this crazy? But you know, the more I read the Bible, the more excited I get, the more hungry I get for it. I just can't put it down. Amen. Spiritual hunger is different than physical hunger. See, you get full when you're physically hungry. You can feed and eat. But when you're spiritually hungry, the more you feed, the more you want it, the more excited you get, the more hungry you get. But I will tell you, the first couple of times you open your Bible, it's going to be hard because your flesh hates it. Your mind's going to wander. You're going to fall asleep. People are going to interrupt you. The baby will cry the minute you crack your Bible. The kids are going to cut themselves or bump their knee or something the minute you open your Bible. The telemarketer will call the minute. And I'm telling you, everything starts dinging the minute you decide to read your Bible. But I'm telling you, the principle of replacement, I must take out the wrong and put back the right. I must develop appetites for godly things. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4:8, to think on these things, to actually focus my mind on them. Another principle is the principle of affections. This world is temporary. I must make the eternal more important than the earthly. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So my conviction is Colossians 3:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of earth. So the standard, how do you do that? How do you apply that? I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I will strive to have a daily time of Bible reading and prayer. Another Bible principle is called the principle of associations. Bad associates lead to bad behavior. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. So what's the conviction here? I recognize that who I'm with affects me. My daddy used to say, tell me who your friends are. I'll tell you what you are. Because birds of a feather flock together. You know, when we go to camp, somehow, even though we split our kids up among all of the cabins, the bitter pills find the bitter pills from all the other churches and they clump up. Because birds of a feather flock together. So the standard is I must guard who I allow myself to associate with. I will in turn seek out godly people who can influence me. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can pick who your children play with, and you should. The principle of priorities. Jesus should be number one. Colossians 1:18 is the Bible principle. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. That in all things, Jesus might have the preeminence. Jesus needs to be first. So my conviction is I have to put Jesus first. 1 John 4:19, I should love him because he first loved me. The standard is I will obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, these are Bible principles. They're not thou shalt's. They're not thou shalt not's. But they are taught in Scripture. They are emulated and exampled in the great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, if you do a character study on their life. Another one's called the principle of doubtful things. When in doubt, don't.
If it's doubtful, just assume it's dirty. You say, that's crazy. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. If you want to know if it's okay, go find out what the Bible says about it. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain. Now, this is something that's lost in America. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Not just abstain from evil. Abstain from the appearance of it. I had a preacher I went to work for in Roswell, and he said, listen, we don't go to movie theaters around here. So I said, okay. And he invited me over for dinner. But sitting out in front of his house was a 6-foot-wide satellite dish. I'm just saying, right? Oh, you block HBO and send to the max. Okay, yeah, sure. Everybody in your neighborhood knows that. You see what I'm saying? It's insane. Well, what do you think about movies? You know, John R. Rice preached a whole message on the wickedness, supporting wicked Hollywood. Do you realize you go to Taco Bell and get a Pepsi, you just supported Hollywood? Because Sony owns it all. At this point, it's like insanity. You know, I guess we'll just dig a hole and live in a hole. You know, come on. You have to personally read the Bible and apply it to your life, and in that application, create a conviction. And with that conviction, have the guts to put up a standard and tell your little kids, no. We're not crossing that. Well, what about Bobby down the street? What's his last name? That's what I always say. What's his last name? His name's Jones. Well, guess what? His name ain't Mix. If his name was Mix, he'd live on this side of the line. And that's just how it is. You know, we allowed some things in my kids' lives that some people thought were questionable. It'll shake out. We'll figure out how poorly I did as a parent when I start having grandkids. That's when we'll find out just how poorly my parenting is. I was an expert when I was in my 20s. Now that I'm in my 50s, I keep thinking to myself, I don't think I did that right for a lot of different reasons. So the conviction is that the testimony of Christ is too important to cause him shame. So the standard is, I will not engage in anything that I would be ashamed to have him come back and find me doing. Come on now. Well, what's wrong with this? Or you realize those idiots on the internet, this pastor forums, are now discussing whether social drinking is okay. Boy, it got quiet in here, didn't it? You want to turn your throat into a sewer, you go ahead. But don't you dare complain when your children are in it. Don't you dare. I was doing this Bible study and had a guy who ran a printing company, and he offered to print all my Bible studies. We got the letter S under separation, and it talked about abstaining from tobacco and from alcohol. He came in my office and threw a fit. He's like, bless God, my daddy was a deacon, and he'd go out between Sunday school and church and smoke a cigar and read his Bible. Well, praise the Lord. When does your boy get his first cigar? He was 7 at the time. What's good for the goose? Don't try to tell that 16-year-old, don't you shouldn't smoke. Don't. That's how you provoke a child to wrath. And if you'd be ashamed, listen, I'd knock on doors. I'm just going to get in the flesh here in a minute. I knock on doors. People walk up, and they go, well, can I help you? And they have a beer in the other hand. I'd say, I'm Pastor Mix from the church around the corner. They go, oh, thank you for coming. Yeah. I'm a member at First Self-Righteous down the street. And I'd say, who's the pastor? I saw that church, sure. Who's the pastor down there? I've been wanting to meet him. Well, I haven't been there in a while. Look, I love you, but it's time to grow up. You've been saved a while. It's time to go on from just the doctrines of the deity of Christ and salvation and eternal security. It's time to grow up a little bit, get into algebra. You're not even into calculus yet. This is just algebra. Abstain from the appearance of the principle of temptation. James 1 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. First, we're drawn away by our lust, and then we're enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. I must avoid temptation, not just sin. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. There's that girl at work. She's cute. She's funny. She's bubbly.
And for some reason, y'all just click. There's that guy. He always smells nice. He doesn't belch or fart, or he shaves and wears cologne, unlike your man. You know what I'm talking about. So the conviction is, I have appetites in my life I have to starve. I have to starve them out. You cannot play with sin and win. You cannot stir the pot of sin and it not get on you. If the person who's in trouble is the person who thinks, well, that'll never happen to me. And just because there's snow on the roof don't mean there ain't a fire in that sinful flesh of yours. That means if you got gray hair and you think you've gotten too old for it, no, no, no. You need to write unavailable on your head. I must take charge of what I'm exposed to. I must take charge of my interactions. And you know what? This whole Me Too generation and stuff like that hasn't stopped it. Well, why? I better straighten up, but somebody's going to... No, it's still going on in your heart. The principle of purity. God wants me to be pure. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you be separated from the world unto Him as something pure and holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, God hath called us unto holiness. So the standard is Romans 13:14. I'll put on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll not make provision for the flesh. Now there's another 30 of these that I haven't even got to. And if you're interested in that email, I'll drop that email out to you. And you can look up the verses, but you have, but remember, a principle is a Bible truth that you need to live. A conviction is something through prayer you come to an understanding of how that applies to your life personally. And then a standard is you put up a flag and say, buddy, we're going to live on this side of the line. We're not going to cross that. Mm-mm. Over there is not something I need or it's going to glorify God. Mm-mm. Don't need that. Mm-mm. See, standards have been vilified because of our independent Baptist brethren and some of the crazy things they've done, but do you understand? You still need to have convictions. You still need to think something about what the Bible says. And you need to put into your life a barrier that says, you know what? I don't care what anybody else does down there at that church. We aren't crossing that line. This is our house. This is my kids. I'll stand before God and answer for those kids. And you know what? I don't care what the preacher allows in his home. This is where we live, baby. And until you write the rent check or the mortgage check or pay the power bill, we're on this side of the line. I'm telling you, I've never regretted the convictions or the standards I've put in my life. And I've often wondered if I drew the line where God would. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How do I live the gospel? By living Bible principle. How do I live Bible principle, preacher? I prayerfully make a conviction, a persuasion in my heart based on what I read it to believe and what I think would honor God. And then I set up a standard and say, this is how we're going to represent Christ in this area. This is how Christ is going to manifest His holiness through us in this area. Our Heavenly Father, tonight I've talked fast and I've covered a lot of things. And I pray, God, that You would help us as each individual to read the Scriptures and to actually be persuaded in our heart about how it applies to us today. Holy Spirit, Jesus said that You would lead us and guide us into all truth, and that You would remind us of everything He taught. And I pray, Holy Spirit, You would do that. And tonight I've mentioned some things that are controversial, but Father, You know the truth of Your word. Apply it to our hearts personally, that each person may represent You in their life. We ask, Father, tonight You'd help us make decisions based on Your truth and not on people's preferences. Help us to live truth in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music begins to play tonight, there's a time for you to pray, a time for you to ask the Lord questions and to live for His holiness and His glory. There's some relationships in your life you need to review. There's some interaction and activity in your life that you need to review. You need to look at it with an open heart and a critical mind and think and say, how does this affect the testimony of Christ? How does this affect my children and what I'm trying to teach them? How is God being manifested in holiness through this? How am I representing Christ? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask, God, that you would help us as your children to let you live your life through us, God, as vessels of light that you would shine through, that you would glorify yourself in. And Father, that we would be people that would manifest your glory in a way that people would see that it's true, that you're real, that you do exist, that you do answer prayer, that you do interact in the lives of those who love you because they have been saved by you. Bless us tonight as we go our separate ways. Help us to live your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Out in the